Brother Vance mentioned something in his preaching Sunday, and or a scripture he shared, and it kind of stuck out with me. And I've read about it. I've studied some of it, not in real depth. And it's going to be me trying to find. I thought I marked all my scriptures I'm going to use tonight. Now I'm going to have to hunt them. But the title I put, I mean, just simply grace. You ever think you hear a lot of people talk about God's grace and the grace of God, what's the purpose of His grace? And that's what I'm going to get into tonight. And just what is grace? You know, grace is unmerited favor. That it's a gift of God. Only comes from God. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, the purpose of grace. You know, the scriptures. You know, and that's so I was doing a little studying on it. And God's purpose of grace. You know, according to God's word, He is graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners, being perfectly consistent with the free agency of men. A man comprehends all the means and in connection with the end, and that it is a most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness, being infinitely free, wise, holy, and unchangeable, that it utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility and love and prayer and praise, trust in God and active imitation of His free mercy, and that it encourages the use of means in the highest degree, and that it may be asserted by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel, that it is the foundation of Christian assurance. You know, we've heard that, you know, that's only, you know, a lot of time I hear a lot of the saints say, by the grace of God, you know, this happened for a reason, you know, and His grace is sufficient for the day, you know, and I always ask God to give me grace every day when I go to work. You know, I ask God, just give me the grace to deal with it, to whatever I'm going to face. I don't know what's going to I'm going to face each day. I ask Him to go before me. I ask Him to lead and guide me and protect me, especially on my job and on my way to work, and so thankful for what He's done. If you can, turn with me to the book of Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 8. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 8. He says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And that's why, you know, when I mentioned this, mentioned what it says here in God's word, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, you know, that's right there tells me, you know, you can't save yourself. You can't say, I can save myself, or I'm going to get saved, or I'm going, like, you know, when you got put that word I in the way. He said, this grace is said to be given to us before the world began. That is, in the purpose and designing of God from all eternity in Jesus Christ, for all the gifts that come from God to sinful man come in and through Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ appearing, this gracious purpose was made manifest to us. By the gospel of Christ, death is abolished. He abolished death by taking away sin. He abolished death for the sting of death here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would turn over there, please. Familiar portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start with verse 55 or verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, that's only a temporary thing. You know, if you're saved, he takes away that death. You know, you say, well, I'm going to die one day. Yep, maybe, or unless the Lord intervenes and returns. But he took that sting. He said, where is thy sting? It's just something temporary. Jesus Christ took care of that upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for those who of his elect. It's just temporary. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, I got several scriptures here, and just bear with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, beginning with verse 3, or we can just start with, we'll just start with verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. According to as he hath chosen us in him. I am so thankful that God, before the foundation of the world, has chosen me. You know, the election. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and have predestinated us unto the adoption of the children of Jesus Christ. And it's only through what? It's in him that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's not through any other thing. It's not through the water. It's not through baptism. It's not through, say, I'm going to join a church and I'll be fine. I've heard people say, well, I don't have to be a member of a church. Well, to a point. But I think if God saved you, you want to learn more and more of Him every day. You want to come to church. You want to learn all you can of Him, and that the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you through His Word. That's what He says here in verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you have heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, ye were sealed that with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know, you heard the Word. You know, without the preaching of the Word, you know, you got to hear the Word. And when God, when the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, and He convicts you and saves you through the gospel, through His truth, the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then what does He do? It is sealed. You can't be lost. It's eternal security of the blood-bought believer. That's what grace. Grace is so important. You know, I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. He's brought me through a lot. I've had a lot of, it's probably the most health issues I ever had in my life is this year, or starting maybe end of last year. And I'm so thankful what God has brought me through and leading, guiding, and directing me. Let's turn over to the book of Romans chapter 11. And I will get to what I'm going to try to cover tonight and ask God to lead me and guide me. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 5. Even so then, at the present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't earn that. You can't earn. You say, what is grace? You know, it's something you don't deserve. You know, God's, Jesus Christ, when He saves you, it's a gift. You know, when you're covered in the blood, and it's that precious gift from God that I don't deserve salvation. I deserved hell. But I'm so thankful of what God has done for me and saved me and brought me from where I'm at. He took me out of darkness. He brought me and set me upon a solid rock. And you know, grace is no more grace. You know, if you think you can work your way to heaven, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have to worry about it right now. I'll get saved when I want to, or I'm good enough to go to heaven. But there's no salvation in any of that. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only through the blood. And Romans 11:6, as we mentioned, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. It's a gift. It's a gift of salvation. In the book of Exodus, chapter 18, Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. My eyes were playing tricks on me. Exodus 33 and verse 18. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God does what He wants to. He said, you know, if you want to be saved, he will save you. Now, I ain't saying that you come and before the church, but when you hear the word of God and when God's working on you and he tries to, I won't say try, when he is working on you and the Spirit of God is dealing with you through his word, you'll come. You know, because I remember when I was first saved, you know, this was all new to me. I've never been in church in my life. I've never heard stuff that I've heard through his word here. I've been to, they call it a church. My grandmother always tried to get me to go to church with her. I went a couple of times, and after that, they scared me to death. She went to a Church of Christ. They didn't believe in no music. They didn't, you know, they say use your voice and the screaming, hollering. You didn't know who was doing what, because one would jump up and say a bunch of stuff. Another one would jump up and say stuff, and I would crawl on the floor. I was probably about 7 years old, and I told my mom, I was like, I can't go back there no more. But my grandmother keeps pushing me to go, but my mom and dad never was brought up in church. Never had the background of it. But I look back and I thought how God protected me through the years and brought me to where I'm at now. I am so thankful, you know, and he was gracious to me. He said, I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he's shown that mercy to me, and he can show mercy to you. You know, and I ask for God's mercy every day before I leave work or before I leave home to go to work. I pray for this church. I pray for everybody on this prayer list. And I ask God for his grace and his mercy for the day. Because his grace is sufficient. And he leads and guides me and protects me. You know, I have a job. It can be really dangerous. Drive a forklift. I have people run out in front of me. I have people just ignore me, come around corners they can't see, blowing the horn, and they still run right out in front of me. And I'm so thankful that he protects me, because sometimes my nerves are shot. Sometimes it depends, you know, what I'm doing. But anyways, enough about that. But there's a few points I'd like to cover tonight. Just kind of give you a little start into about grace, of what the grace of God does in us. You know, but turn over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm having a hard time reading my own handwriting. I wrote this out, and some of it I can't make out, but I'm pretty sure this is what it is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, through the covetousness of shall the..." shall follow the pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with fain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingered not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if God spare not his angels, that not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into the chains of darkness, and spare not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, and a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of unto godly." You know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and how he, if you study about Noah and what he faced, we're living in the same times, I believe, that was going on back in the days of Noah, because of all the stuff that's going on, of the how the world is being, our nation, the homosexuality thing that's going on, the corrupt schools, corrupt government, everything, it just seemed like it's falling apart. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he kept doing what God wanted him to do and leading and guiding. But there's a couple of things here I want to bring out tonight. Won't keep you long. And I thought it was good, and we'd be kind of jumping around some scriptures. The first point I had, God's grace saves us. We go back to Ephesians chapter 2, a familiar portion of scripture. I'm so thankful for His grace. But the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 1. And you hath He quickened, make you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. At one time I was dead in trespasses and sin, until God quickened me and made me alive. And He says, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, according to the course of this world. You know, it's like the way of life. You know, I think back when I was in school, high school, and just before God saved me, you know, I look back and think, why did I do the things that I did? Because I was lost, didn't know anything, didn't know any good, or couldn't. I always did seem like things I shouldn't be doing. It was all wrong. Seemed like I get in trouble. But here in verse 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And this is what I love, this second part right here. But God, see that those little words are important, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By what? By grace ye are saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, very important. For by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. And that what? Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's what grace does. Saved by grace. It is, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's a perfect definition of what grace is. It is so, so thankful. It is a gift. God's gift of grace comes through the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed upon that cross. The second point I'd like to bring out is God's grace justifies us. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 10. It said, and as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Then verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the perfect gift. Justified, never sinned. Jesus Christ says here, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, Christ Jesus. That's the perfect gift. The justification, just if I never sinned, it's the perfect gift. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 5, a couple of chapters over, book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. See, he's our lawyer. He's our mediator. He's the middleman. He's the one. The only way you can have that peace, the only way you can be justified by that faith, and we have peace, the only way you can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of through him. And that's how it is. But God commanded his love towards us. You know, I'll never understand why God loved me. I don't understand why God would even bother to save me, because I don't deserve it. And it's by his grace and his love that he's shown us. And it says, by his blood, that's how we are justified, by his blood, that we shall be saved from wrath through him. My third point, God's grace sanctifies us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification, through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. So what is sanctified? Sanctification is to set apart. God saved me for a reason. He set me apart from this world. We live in this world, but we're not part of this world. God set us apart from this world. Sanctification is a process of being set aside, in our case, for the purpose of God. You know, the question, if you're saved tonight, why did God save you? You know, what is the purpose of the salvation that he's given you? He gave us all talents. You know, he saved us for a reason. Sister Callie plays the piano. She's been blessed by him, by the Lord. That's a talent, and we use that for the Lord. You know, if you all those that helps mow, and you know, you say, well, that's work. Well, it's work, but it's a blessing, because we're sitting here taking care of God's house, you know, cleaning the church, or whatever we got to do to take care of the church, because it's the Lord's. It's sanctified. It's set apart for the service of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn back. Chapter 5, verse 23. He said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you sit here and you think of what God has done, he says, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's hard to serve the Lord. It's not hard to serve the Lord, but it's hard to, we are part of this world, or we live in this world. I take that back. We live in this world, but what we got to face in this world, you know, at the workplace, especially where I work at, there's people just does not have no respect for themselves or any others. You know, where I work at, cursing is so horrible. I mean, you can hear it. I can be driving by. You can hear it way over on other lines. And you, you know, it's just like nobody has no respect, you know. And it's hard. Sometimes I want to give up. I just like, you know, Lord, it's just, you know, what am I doing wrong? Why am I, you know, and it's just like you can tell them about the Lord and they still will curse and carry on. They think it's a joke. But one day it's not going to be a joke, because one day when the Lord comes back, and if they're not saved, it is too late. And they'll remember the words. If you have opportunity to share the Word of God with somebody and they reject you and continually reject you, and when that day comes, if they die without the Lord, they're going to remember your words. They're going to remember every opportunity that God gave them to be saved, and they rejected it. Every knee's going to bow. But in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I thought I was going to be running out of time, but or it looked like I'm going to be running out of time. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in the presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure." And that's what he does. We got to, you know, work out your own salvation. You know, you can't help what, you know, what God lays on my heart, what he wants me to do. Lead and guide and direct me. He may lead you to do things for the Lord. But he says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Because, you know, I always ask God, what do you want me to do today? Where are you going to lead me today? Who are you going to give me opportunity to speak to today? Because I pray every morning, Lord, just give me one person to talk to. And usually you don't even have to say anything. Usually they give you the opportunity, because they'll come to you and they usually put their foot in the door, and that gives you the opportunity to witness to them. And either 9 times out of 10 when I do that, usually they like, "Well, I got other things to do. I got to go." You know, and they don't want to carry a conversation. They want to tell you about their jokes and what's going on in the world and all the things, you know. But God, the last point here tonight, God's grace empowers us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. I am what I am by the grace of God. What you see is what you get. I'm not perfect. I'm not a speaker. I ask God, give me the words I need to say, and lead and guide. There's a person I work with. I guess she just flat out don't like me. I never said a word to her, and she's always yelling at me or whatever, because she drives another Ford truck, and it's like when I come by, She's like, either I'm in her way or, you know. But anyways, it's just, you know, I sit there and I don't say anything. I just do my own business and do what I got to do. I don't know. But I am what I am, you know. If you don't like the way I am, I can't help it. That's not my problem, you know. And because God made me the way I am, and He guided me. And Philippians chapter 2, I know we're flipping a lot of scriptures, and that's the only way that I want to do it. And not my opinion, but what's God's opinion? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So what does this mean? Whatever gifts and abilities God has given us by His grace, we should use them for His glory. You know, if you got a voice and sing, sing. You know, if God's blessed you with a voice, and I know we have some singers in the voice or in our church, and maybe they don't feel comfortable, maybe this is not the right time, and I like to hear other people sing. But whatever it could be, it's like Brother Lewis, before the Lord took him out of here. Brother Lewis, like Brother Vance says, his job, he said, "Oh, if I can't do anything, he can clean." He said, "Windows is my job." And he done it well. And he was happy to do it and glad to do it. You know, God gives us the ability to do what He wants us to do. And He will give you that ability if you ask Him. But God's grace and blessing were not given simply for us to sit in church and feel good, but that we were given that we might not only be blessed, but also be a blessing to somebody. You know, give God the glory. And your piano playing, I'm blessed. I'm glad. I tried to tinker around with the little piano, but I played a few little songs that is, you know, just like hand pecking, you know, that's about it. But seeing people play, my wife plays, Sister Linda, it's not going to be in that. It could be singing. It could be doing the things. It could be working in doing the sound room, all that equipment. It could be anything, you know, just to be a blessing, you know, to see Sister Shirley, to see her eye, you know, face, you know, she's glad to come to church. She's able to come to church. And she's glad to see us. And I understand her health and stuff. And it's just, but me seeing her with that glow in her face, it just makes me happy, you know. And we should be a blessing. We should be an encouragement to one another because we need that, because this world ain't going to give you that encouragement. This world is nothing but negative. And if you're a news person, like watching news, I don't watch it. It's nothing but pure negativity. It's all it is. And I don't like being around people being negative. And it's just a blessing that we can come to meet with brothers and sisters and worship God in His house and give Him the praise and the glory, because He will bless us and guide us in His word. And without grace, we would not only be useless in God's sight, but we would not be lost. There is no work that man can do to make him good enough for God. And back on Ephesians chapter 2, I'll close with this last scripture. And you don't have to turn if you don't. Everybody should be familiar with it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is what the gift of God." And that's what grace is all about. And I'm just hitting the skim of it. I mean, you can go into more depth on grace. But that scripture there blesses my heart. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And I'm so thankful that I have this opportunity to fill in for Brother Vance. I usually get really worked up, nervous, trying to prepare, you know, and I study on things, and it's like, it don't make sense to me. But, you know, God always comes out He gives me the words I need to say. Sometimes I don't even follow what I got. And lays on my heart the scriptures. And I'm so thankful. And I thank you for your attention. And we be dismissed in our Wednesday night service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day.